following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ Radio in Hampton and Gordon Wolf of the Denison Bulletin and Review. The first question will come from KLMJ's Brian.
Senator, can you talk about the bill that came out of your Judiciary Committee today about the sentencing reform and what that's going to mean if it passes through Congress?
Yeah. Let me tell you, finding common ground and a difference between people that think we ought to eliminate or cut in half mandatory minimums and people that say we ought to make prison sentences longer is difficult. But after several months, some people say we've been working on it 8 months, we found some common ground. And the common ground is not to change mandatory minimums and hurt law enforcement, but the idea is to take away some of the sharpest and most severe sentences that probably don't add up to what the crime was, but mandatory minimums kind of expect that. And then in the process, give judges a little more discretion on sentencing. Then there's another component that didn't take as long to probably compromise, is prison reform. And federal prisons, unlike a lot of state prisons, don't give a lot of opportunity to get out early unless the president intervenes. So prison reform at the federal level now will be similar to what happened in Texas, where you give people an opportunity to train themselves for life after prison, maybe through work, maybe through education, maybe through community service. A whole bunch of different ways, but the idea is to give them an opportunity to earn points and get out of prison earlier, and then and understand this isn't just getting points and getting out of prison. There's somebody going to make a judgment of whether or not this person's a threat to society once they get out. But assuming that they do all the right things, they'll be able to shorten their sentence and get out. And the idea is to have them trained so they can get a job and reduce recidivism. And Texas has found that recidivism has been reduced. Gordon?
Yeah, it's kind of a several-part question. Do you support the National Defense Authorization Act, and why? Yeah. And what do you believe is the importance of President Obama choosing to veto it on camera when he has vetoed, I believe, only one other bill on camera and four others total? And is a veto override possible?
Well, I don't know that he's going to mention this, but he wants to close down Guantanamo, and this bill doesn't close down Guantanamo. The president's probably going to say that they're wasting some money on this weapon program or that weapon program. But we are appropriating the amount of money that the president thought should be appropriated. And that's might surprise you that the president wants to spend $38 billion more on defense than what sequestration would require. But now, in the last 18 months to 2 years, things have very dramatically changed as maybe the best evidence of threats to American security is the beheading of Americans, as an example, by jihadists over in the Middle East. So there's a consensus of spending more on defense, and you know there's that consensus if it's just not Republicans that want to do it. So I don't think he's going to veto it based upon the total number of dollars. Probably going to veto it on the fact that says you're wasting some money on this defense system or that one. But let me assure you that this will be the first time in 53 years that we've had a veto of a defense authorization bill. And it shows that the president is more concerned not the amount of money you spend, but what you spend it on, rather than the national defense. Back to Brian.
Senator, can you talk a little bit about the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act, where it's at in the process, and what it would do?
Yeah. This is something we've been working on for 4 years, and some of it comes out of the Senate Judiciary Committee I chair, but the main substance of it comes out of the intelligence community, and so I'm very much in favor of it. Oh, and by the way, in that previous one, I hope I said I voted for the National Defense Authorization Bill, and I will vote to override the veto if the president does veto it. It's my understanding he's going to do that. Cybersecurity, we've been working on it for 4 years. We finally got something put together. And there's finally a consensus among business of what should be done. The first thing to remember is no business has to do what this law allows them to do if they don't want to. Secondly, what has held up bills in the past is that government wanted businesses to tell the government everything about their hacking and the cybersecurity, but government never really wanted to tell business about their what they knew about hacking and cybersecurity. Well, this bill is meant to encourage that sort of dialogue between businesses as well as between business and government on hacking and cybersecurity and all the threats that come from it or all the economic harm that comes from it. It does one additional thing, and it's business talking to business. Sometimes businesses talk to businesses can be violating the antitrust laws, and this gives some protection from lawsuits. So businesses talking to businesses just on the cybersecurity issue. It doesn't exempt them from antitrust laws in any other respect, but on cybersecurity, they'll be able to talk to each other, and that's very essential. So the left hand knows what the right hand doing, or the left hand that's harmed know how the right hand has been harmed, and maybe get to the bottom of stuff a lot faster than if they couldn't communicate. So they can't be sued for violating the antitrust laws, or they can't be sued by private citizens. Let's see, it would be Gordon, is that right?
Yes, Senator. Going off of Vice President Biden's speech on Wednesday, why he wasn't running for office, do you believe the Republican Party is more divisive than it was when you were first elected to the House of Representatives? And has divisiveness in the party and in Congress in general halted the effectiveness of the federal government? And if so, what are your solutions going forward?
I don't think the party's more divided. 15 candidates make it appear to be very divided, but I don't think it's so divided. I think that the question you have deals more with partisanship between Republicans and Democrats. There's more of it now than there's ever been before, but probably not as much as what people think because, controversy makes news in Washington and for journalists. And so when people are getting along, it isn't reported. And then there's more partisanship in the House because the House can ignore the minority party, whereas in the United States Senate, the institution itself forces partisanship or forces bipartisanship. Like when you have 54 Republicans, 46 Democrats, nothing's going to get done unless you got a bipartisan vote to stop debate so you can finally pass a bill. And that's where we are. And then I think you have to realize that at the grassroots of America, the people are more ideologically divided. That's reflected in the votes of Congress. And then 25 years ago, you used to have within the caucus of the Democrats and Republicans, you had to have a lot of conservatives and a lot of moderates and in both parties. Now you got all the conservatives in the Republican Party and all the liberals in the Democrat Party. So within our party caucus discussions, you don't have people that bring about moderation. And so that's kind of where we are. But remember, it's not as bad as people see because we always hear reports of controversy. You never hear reports of people getting along. The next person will be the last question. Brian.
Yes, Senator, with the time we have left, what concerns you the most about the situation in Syria right now?
That refugees will come here. Well, not just refugees coming here, but ISIS itself has said that they're going to sneak in terrorists when refugees come. So I've kind of been an advocate, instead of taking Syrian refugees, have a safe zone that would be protected along the border of Turkey. So Syrian refugees could be protected there, stay there, and get the humanitarian help they need there until they get back home. Thank you, Brian and Gordon, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.